From the land of Grand Teutoburg City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of November 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets as usual with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. And then we'll be joined by Ed Usset, agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota with Extension there, to discuss the broader concepts of trade going through the end of the year and what he thinks about the price of corn, soybeans, and wheat. And then as we close out our time together, we'll get an update on the growing regions across the planet. Mark Russo will be here from Everstream Analytics for this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world online on demand at willag.org, willag.org, where right now today you can register for one of the upcoming FarmDoc Team December meetings, kicking off with the Farm Assets Conference Friday, December the 13th, right here on campus at the Iowa Hotel, and followed up the following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the 16th, 17th, and 18th in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Now, the Farm Assets Conference will include everything that's in the Farm Economic Summits, but also have some additional information that'll come from the crop scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I and a few other things. You can find the agendas online as well. All the details and links are on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Across the state, make sure you get yourself registered right now for one of the FarmDoc Team December conferences.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today at $4.16.5, up 2 cents. The March at $4.30, 3/4 higher, and the May unchanged at $4.37.25. The January soybeans settled 3.5 cents higher at $9.97.25 a bushel. The March at $10.11.75, up 3.5, and November of next year at $10.35.25, up 3 cents. Bean meal futures $4.30 higher. The bean oil 74 cents lower, and soft red winter wheat 0.75 cents higher at $5.68.75. The hard red at $5.71, up 4.25. Both of those in the December contract. Live cattle futures in Chicago. A settlement price at $185.75, down 85 cents. Feeders were off 77.5, and lean hogs were 85 cents lower. Those all for 100 pounds each. The crude oil at $71.40 a barrel, up $1.90. The diesel fuel around $2.28, 2/10 of a cent, 4 8/10 of a cent higher. And the wholesale price of gasoline today at $2.07, up a nickel and a tenth. Here to talk about the numbers is Kurt Kimmel. He is with agmarket.net. Hi, Kurt. Thank you for being with us. I suppose we ought to look forward to the World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimate and the November crop production figures. What are you thinking about those numbers as they may be reflecting the current situation on the ground in the United States and across the planet?
Yeah, I've not seen the trade expectations yet, but I imagine it'd be slightly changed for the most part. Bean yields continue to have been variable. Corn yields probably a little bit better as we finished off and through here. Still a little bit of harvest to go yet. This afternoon's crop conditions or progress reports specs show 90% of the corn crop in versus 81% last week. Soybeans 95% versus 89%. The key would probably be the demand side of the equation. We're still awful early in the marketing year, but you know, if this demand's front loaded or not is going to be the question once we get past first of the year here. This morning's export inspections report on the shipments that took place that we've sold, wheat shipments was 193 million metric tons. They were looking for about 200 to 350. Corn shipments was 779. They were looking for 701.2. Bean shipments 2.1 versus 1.8 to 2.6. So we're shipping out what we've been selling. You know, like I mentioned before, the question is this is front loaded. The second part of the equation, though, as we move past Friday will be South America and how they've been getting along with their crop there, Todd.
What are your expectations as we go through the week? Of course, we'll have the election tomorrow, whatever the aftermath of that might be to deal with. And then if there's anything else that might be coming up other than the USDA reports at the end of the week at 11 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah, that's a good question on the election. There's ideas we might not know the outcome of that for a while since it's so close to call. And we'll see how that unfolds here as we move through the week. Uncertainty there. We've had traders buy puts and calls both and just about everything here, expecting maybe a volatile move one way or the other. But if that happens, I think it'll be fairly short-lived. If whoever's in office is probably going to take a few months for their policy actually to kick in. But I think the grain traders' cash side of the equation is pretty well covered. It's where they want to be, at least going into the first quarter of next year. So it's going to be a historic event. We'll see what the outcome is as we move through the week here.
Have you had a chance to talk to many farmers today, maybe last week, late last week too, as a little rainfall came into our part of the world, across the Midwest for that matter? Maybe they had a chance to give you an update on end of the season yields and what they're thinking about as it relates to next year.
Yeah, they've been playing catch up. It varies on as far as field work goes. There's some guys thinking it was a little too dry, do a whole lot. This rain will help quite a bit in through here. Overall yields basically just better than anticipated. We've got some overflow bushels. A lot of those overflow bushels have been sold and replaced with some covered positions here, so they've got their money. They got a little cash flow to work with, but most are going to be holding until after the first of the year here and kind of see what that South American forecast brings. You know, as far as any tillage goes, they kind of gave up on some hope here. There was some good hope. What I mean by that, they saved a lot of money on propane, but they turned around and spent a little extra on diesel. A lot of this equipment pulled pretty hard here over the last month or so.
Indeed it has. Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Let's check in now with Ed Ussett from University of Minnesota Extension. Hi, you're based there on campus in St. Paul, Minneapolis. Thanks much for being with us. Can you tell me a little bit about what you've been hearing as it's related to yields as harvest has finished up or is finishing up across the bulk of the Midwest?
Well, I've got a very Minnesota attitude on things, of course, up here in the North Country. By the way, Todd, I believe that Minnesota Gophers had a good football game on Saturday, but I won't mention that again.
Yeah, please don't.
You know, our harvest is essentially done here in Minnesota. It's wrapped up, and I can just give you anecdotal numbers from people, and it's not a broad swath of the state. I would say, in general, corn and soybean yield numbers, I detect a sense of disappointment that we weren't, you know, we were the state with the biggest problems, too much moisture, too early in the growing season. Then we went dry at the end of it, like many other places. And, you know, the people I know here who have run the combine through and harvested, you know, they didn't have high expectations, and even their low expectations were really not quite met. So we're a little disappointed here in Minnesota.
Interesting take, because here we had really high expectations and they may not have been met, so they were feeling a little disappointed too, but they still have a lot of grain to sell, which means, and that was the bulk of the case, I think, across a lot of the Corn Belt, should lead even to record yields still by the time we get to the crop production numbers to be released on Friday of this week. Do you see USDA making many changes this week? And it could be on both the production or demand or consumption sides.
Well, I'm thinking more of corn. You know, the soybean market is just a bit of a mess on the demand side. And the stories that come out on renewables and the issues going on with a lot of capacity opening up. I mean, it's hard to put a positive spin in the soybean market. But the corn market, demand is solid and holding up well, both export, ethanol. It's not wild. It's not wildly bullish, but it's solid. And that's a good thing. My sense is, if I had a gut feel on this, and by God, I've been wrong before, but my sense is we'll have a record corn yield, but I think it's coming down in Friday's report. Just a little, but I think it's coming down. And the combination points to a corn market that I'm starting to get confident with the thought that we put our lows in back in August. And, you know, we had this nice rally in September, and we blew off in the first 2-3 weeks of October, but we seem to have regained our footing. And I just feel like we've seen the worst we're going to see in the corn market, the worst we're going to see in the wheat market. All bets are off on the soybean market.
Can soybeans, in your opinion, move downward if corn and wheat manage to hold steady?
Yeah. That could happen. Will they diverge sharply? I mean, will one go up a dollar and the other go down a dollar? I highly doubt that. But if you even look at this last sell-off, I mean, good grief, you know, soybean market. Actually, you know, if you look at November and January futures, actually kind of came close to getting back to its life of contract lows. I mean, we were just not that far away. Whereas in the case of wheat and corn, yeah, we had a sell-off, but we didn't come anywhere, not that close to life of contract lows. So is it possible we could see life of contract lows in soybeans in the next few months while corn and wheat hold their own and maybe even creep a little higher? Yeah, that could happen. It always sounds unlikely, but I think it could happen.
Darrell Good had a saying, that everything is normal until it's not, as it's related to the growing season. Because we are very used to now a every 6 month soybean crop coming onto the world marketplace. Mm-hmm. And we have, I think, what appears to be at least a first crop of soybeans in Brazil, and one yet to be planted in Argentina, mm-hmm. that looks like it's going to be fairly normal. How concerned should producers be?
If I've got soybeans, I've been saying this now for a month. I started saying it on a rally in September. Look for rallies to sell. Okay, don't get overly proud. Look for rallies to sell. I don't know what will create those rallies. I don't know what news will give us a 50 cent or a dollar bump in soybeans, but don't sit back complacently. If you see that rally, get something done, get something sold on rallies. I'm just long-term on beans. We got some issues to work through.
So when you had beans rally in the nearby today, up to 9.95, January were 10.08, they were, what, 13 or 14 cents higher at some point during the day, I think. Is that enough?
No, I'd like to see some. They're not there now. The daggone thing is settled back. You know, it had a nice start to the day, and it's settled back. We're really, I mean, here I'm looking at January beans are currently at $9.96, roughly. You know, life of contract low is just 20 cents lower. I don't consider a 20-cent rally to be something to get me excited, but I sure got excited when we had a dollar rally at the end of September. Can I guarantee we'll get another rally like that? I can't guarantee a damn thing, but if we see something like that, or even half of that, get something done, and don't think about Diversify your choices. If you've got 50,000 bushels in the bin, you don't have to sell all 50,000. But on a rally, make sure you move something. Make sure you move something.
You're okay with storing corn?
Yes. I think corn could have some sort of a normal seasonal rally in prices as we move forward. Am I overly confident in that? Could I see a world where things fall apart? Yeah, I can. But at this point, I like to think we put the lows in and we're going to find a way in the first half of the year to find higher levels. Not radically higher, but higher.
Okay, so you're thinking further out than the seasonal pattern of post-harvest. A rally maybe into the late this month, early next month, and then doldrums before
maybe,
we get a rally.
Maybe even, I'm even looking as far as, next spring, early summer. I like to think, if we pare this crop back a little bit size-wise on corn, if the demand maintains its momentum, remains solid, I can see cash prices for corn looking better in the months ahead, not worse.
Thank you much.
Okay, Todd, thank you.
That's Ed Usett. He's an agricultural economist with University of Minnesota Extension. Joins us here once a month on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I encourage you to visit our website, willag.org, or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. In either case, you'll find information about the upcoming FarmDoc webinars and conferences. The webinars will be in the calendar at willag.org. The conferences are up at the top of the page, and if you're on the FarmDoc Daily website, you'll need to hit the Webinars and Events tab that's across the top of the page. The FarmDoc team here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the U of I surely hopes that you will join us for one of our December conferences. The Farm Assets Conference kicks off a week of events, relatively speaking. That starts on Friday at the I Hotel, December the 13th, and then the Farm Economics Summits follow up with the same information from the Ag Economist across the state in Mount Vernon and then East Peoria and DeKalb the following Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are December 16, 17, and 18. Don't wait. Register today for the FarmDoc conferences in December. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. I hope you had a great weekend.
Hi, Todd. Had a great weekend. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Me too. I traveled across a portion of the state from here, actually, just to the center of the state, to a great little restaurant. I have to mention this. It is in Emden, called the Dovetail Inn. There is a fantastic manager there. His first name is Todd as well. And if you are a fan of gizzards, I'm not. You need to drive there. I'm just saying you need to drive there because he brags on them. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. So in Emden, the Dovetail Inn, that's south of Peoria, about, half an hour or so, and north of Lincoln. So kind of give you an idea where to go. Now, given that, it's rainy, which means farmers might have some time, if they're like me, to make a drive like that. I drove back over to see the farm as well. So, but I'm always encouraged by a good little restaurant. So it is rainy. Farmers do have time. What they want, though, Mark, is for the rain to stop, get a little dry weather so that they can do some fall tillage, and more importantly, be able to apply some fall fertilizer like anhydrous ammonia. What's in the offing? And I suppose maybe we should start with how much rainfall we've gotten across the Midwest and we'll end up in this system.
Yeah, well, Todd, well, certainly for the first time this fall, the pattern across the Midwest, let alone the entire central U.S., is on the wet side. We started to see that here over the weekend with widespread shower and thunderstorm activity. Totals ranged anywhere from quarter of a half an inch on the lighter side of things to 3, 4, 5 inches in parts of the Southwest and Midwest and on and into the plains. hard red winter wheat belt, and so a much different pattern than obviously what was the case starting out fall or back into late last summer. So what we're seeing here going forward is that after, well, current rain system here today on into Tuesday does look like then there will be another system then coming up as we get into the early part of next week. So some dry days in between these systems, and that should help get producers back out in the fields, whether it's for harvest progress or for applying nitrogen and that. So there will be a few dry days in there. The question is, again, within those specific areas, how much rain did they get? Is it too wet in a few locales?
Is there enough rainfall to relieve the really low water conditions on the Mississippi River, Ohio, for that matter, too?
Yes, we are starting to see some significant improvement. In fact, just over the past 24 hours up north, the northern part of the basin, kind of in and around Dubuque, has begun to see the river increases there, and that is the start of what looks to be a more significant increase. And on top of that, you have the rains across the Ohio River Basin that will be flowing into the Mississippi River, and then down into the Southern Delta region, then more rain there as well. So over the next few weeks is going to feature significant improvement in river levels here, and ultimately improving or removing the restrictions that are still in place.
Parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, where the hard red winter wheat has gone into the ground, this would help emergence and certainly get the crop ready for winter and going into dormancy. Have they had enough rainfall?
They're starting to here. They've received some significant rainfall here over the weekend. However, there's more on the way. As this active pattern will continue across the Plains hard winter wheat belt, there will be additional rains again kind of today into tomorrow, and then again late this week and over the upcoming weekend. And at least the western sections of the belt have not yet received any moisture, but that looks to change in a significant way with these upcoming systems. So that will provide a significant boost in soil moisture, as most of the belt sees an increase in moisture levels to help facilitate germination, emergence, and establishment of the new winter wheat crop.
And finally, very quickly, in the center west part of Brazil, are they back to normal again?
They are, at least from a rainfall and soil moisture standpoint. We've seen significant rainfall, high totals the past several weeks across much of center west, which has boosted soil moisture in a significant way. So with that in place, that is allowing for more planting to be accomplished here. And as of right now, center west Brazil, let alone basically all of Brazil, they're in pretty good shape with no sign of any real imminent issues developing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to listen at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.